Welcome to Red Carpet Healthcare Solutions, hosted by Dr. Ryan Mauley and Travis Buzzell. Join us on this journey as we educate the patient population, inform today's medical providers, and inspire tomorrow's medical leaders through education and in-depth discussion. We can all discover today's best healthcare solutions. Now, sit back and enjoy Red Carpet Healthcare Solutions, Private Practice Podcasters.
So I think we're going to see, now I know it sounds like nuance, but I think we're going to see more nuanced solutions where groups of private practices can take advantage of this, you know? The amazing thing is we have all the data for the employers. Like, so that employer you went to in Erie, I know you made it up, but let's just say it, right? We can ask them for their data, and then we can download it. We can go, hey, you did 19 total joints last year, and then here's how much money you spent on all these other specialties and subspecialties. Like, we know exactly to the dollar what you spent. By the way, we've got you with our physician-only network. We've got you covered 80%. And we have our own facilities. So we're going to show you how much money you can save. Now, this is all technology. Now, we've built all these platforms. This doesn't take 20 minutes. So now the conversation you're having with the doc is, with the employer is, hey, you got 150 employees. You spent $2.5 million. Guess what? We think we can reduce it by $750,000.
Yeah. That's a no-brainer right there.
Just kind of getting back into that conversation. So I have a question for you. So all of the areas that you cover, right, and going across the country and having this conversation with, you know, practices and employers and like kind of having this conversation of, okay, let's just have the conversation, right? Like there's a solution. We just need to kind of work through it a little bit. How many of the regions that you're in are there insurance companies that own hospitals? Because, you know, a part of that conversation, you know, I know at least here where we're at, right? I mean, so, and again, I mean, I'm making up a little bit of a story, maybe simplifying this a little bit than maybe the real world that we live in. But, you know, when the insurance companies who obviously are dictating in terms of coverage or out of pocket for patients, and then they also are own the hospital where all the specialists are, I mean, they can make it very challenging for patients who have this insurance, these insurance programs, and for employers in that region to select one versus the other, because they make it very hard because they have both sides of the coin. Right. And so, you know, here, you know, where we're at in our region, you know, you had Highmark and UPMC, and these are two in our region, particularly in Pennsylvania, are, you know, two of, you know, the biggest private insurance companies, I mean, in the area, right? And I mean, just very big. And they both own, you know, very significantly sized health systems with, you know, 15, 20 plus facilities. I mean, even just on the hospital side, not including all of the other ancillary, you know, pavilion centers and urgent cares and imaging and et cetera. So it's like, you have two of those groups. So it's like in, you know, here, you know, we're coming to have this conversation with employers, but employers are getting from the two big, you know, administrators of these healthcare plans, like, hey, you know, if you choose this one and, you know, UPMC providers are happen to be more popular or prevalent in, you know, that part of Pennsylvania where you live, it's going to be very challenging for you having Highmark to go and receive care from any of those specialists, because UPMC is like, yeah, we're either going to, you know, create a designation where that's out of network or it's not accepted, or now these people are having to travel hours outside of where they live to go and see a specialist, as opposed to being able to go to the other health system where there is a specialist and see, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, 100%. I know what you're saying, but like, here's where the solution is, right? So when you have health system plans, or it's just BCBS, right? What do you guys have? Empire or independent? No, you have Independence, right? Yeah, Independence is
Empire's New York.
Empire's New York, but Independence is Eastern PA, right?
Well, we're in Northwest Pennsylvania. I don't even know what you're referring to when you say Independence.
Oh, I was thinking of the different Blue Cross Blue Shield chapter. Oh, then you said you have Highmark.
Yeah, so we have Highmark, Blue Cross, okay. Blue Shield, and then UPMC is the other big one. And I'm saying my practice, it's probably 30% Medicare, 30% to 35% Highmark, and probably 25 to 30% UPMC.
So in a traditional, in the traditional sense, what happens is your this network that I'm talking about being built in these coalitions, that's the tier one network. So generally network, generally health plans have three networks or three tiers. They have the PPO tier, the primary one, which in this case would be like wherever UPMC. Number two would be your out-of-network, and number three would be your wrap, right? Well, in this case, you just lower them all one. So where the independent physicians network would be tier one, the regular PPO would be tier two, tier three is out-of-network, tier four is your wrap, right? So in that sense, nothing really changes. I mean, these are the things that we faced in New York City, certainly in Manhattan. There are things we faced in Phoenix, Florida, Utah, parts of California, where the large systems, especially the big not-for-profits, they have their own. I mean, Texas is a big one, Baylor Scott & White, Phoenix has Banner, right? And these guys all have their own, they own everything. Plus, they have their own insurance company. And so the question is, you know, how do you fight that? Well, if you do a plan with independent network on top, and then you find a PPO network that has those contracts, well, you just use that, right? And what happens is you're showing the employer a better way, right? That's cheaper, better, and faster for them, right? That has, it mitigates and removes copays, deductibles, and coinsurance. So I think while we have these challenges in most places, but, you know, reformatting the tier network is what you want to do.
So if an employer goes to that, like that direct model that we're talking about, and I, and you know, I don't, you know, we're not talking about like the specifics of Dr. Molly's question, like carving out like a subspecialty and, you know, all that sort of thing. And maybe a band with another group that, you know, provides those services. And we, you know, we just, like you said, it's, we'll find solutions, right? We'll get a bunch of guys in a room, we'll figure it out. But like, who's the administrator of that plan? Like who, like who cuts those checks? Who does, like,
yeah, that's what a TPA is for, right?
Okay, gotcha.
So we find one that has a national presence.
Yep.
That, and most TPAs can do it, right? There's 340 independent TPAs around the country.
Got it.
Somebody will do it for us, right? It's really, I haven't found that part to be challenging. The part that I've found to be challenging is saying either it's like Dr. Molly and they say, look, I just want to do my part. I don't want to mess with the rest. Or really banding all the physicians together to say, okay, like, here's how we're going to, you know, solve this problem.
So I know this is going to sound horrible because we have a mutual friend who has a, like a big business and employs a ton of people here locally. And he had a similar, like a self-funded sort of plan. And you know, one of the conversations, and he now has since gone back.
He went back to fully insured.
Yeah. There was a scenario in which, maybe it was maybe like, again, and I'm just like high level, like kind of giving you what I remember here, but it was like, you know, an employee got like a horrible, like cancer diagnosis or something. And another one had like a, you know, a gnarly, you know, accident that had to have, you know, a major surgery. And maybe I remember he had maybe like certain insurance policies against, you know, those sorts of things happening or something like that. But you know, it was like a year or two where like the expenses for those treatments, and rightfully so, because that's what you sign up for. But I mean, that in the scenarios when
they were catastrophic,
that happens, like the plan tips over because the out of pocket expense is just crazy expensive. Like, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
I'd have to know more. Look, in a self-funded plan, most everyone has. So a self-funded plan, when structured correctly, right now I sound like a financial advisor. But when these things are structured correctly, like they're safer than a fully insured plan because they look just like one, except they're yours. So you have this thing called reinsurance, right? There's reinsurance companies in the Bahamas, Bermuda. I don't love those. I like the ones in Puerto Rico because, you know, like they're here in the U.S. They say when something catastrophic happens, we'll take the risk, right? And you pay a monthly fee for that. You might pay $3, $4, $5 per employee per month. That's part of your premium, if you will, and it goes to those carriers, right? It's what ensures when we have catastrophic events like what we've had in LA, God bless those people. When we have that, the carriers aren't coming out of pocket for that. They go, holy smokes, this is what we pay the reinsurance guys for. And the reinsurance guys pay. They're supposed to take the catastrophic lift. So let's just say someone's got to have an ACDF on two levels, right? And so like this is a bigger surgery. It's a big spine surgery. It's going to cost $80,000. Most employers aren't paying that. They might pay 25. They might pay 30 or 50 if they're really big. And then they go, yeah, we're not going to do that. And that's on every single individual person in that health plan. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm kind of like, maybe, but maybe the plan wasn't structured correctly. I don't know. I don't have enough information because generally speaking, even the plan for our employees, like there's a hard cutoff, right? Where we go, let's say someone's a hemophiliac, right? Like that's a lot of expense, $200,000-$300,000 a month. And that's reinsurance. Right? Like I'm Joe the pool guy with 40 pool with 40 locations around the tri-state. I'm not coming up with that money. There's no way. You couldn't sell that to anybody because nobody would do, like, why would you do that? Hey, I'm gonna take all the catastrophic risk on myself without having some kind of coverage. You can't do it. The idea of self-funding, all it is mimicking what a fully insured plan does, except there's no carrier profit, right? Because I'm managing the risk myself. I mean, so it should be that process should be pretty straightforward.
So I want to throw another wrinkle into this. I mean, yep. We see a lot of direct primary care. Dr. Daniel Paul was actually one of the guests on our podcast. And
he's right. I love him.
I mean, he's definitely an innovator looking like, what about that? I mean, now we're taking insurance completely out of this. We're taking self-funded out of this. It is self-funded, but it's self-funded by the patients, generally speaking. What do you think, if any role there is for that type of solution?
I love it. And any employers that can get away with giving, like some employers don't want to do it, but I encourage employers to donate extra dollars, you know, that aren't allocated to anything specifically, but like, hey, you can use it for whatever you want. Wink, wink. This is really for your direct primary care coverage. I think the world says, you know, someone needs to deliver healthcare, right? And when I look at what primary care can do, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, like, look, who's going to do the preventative work? Who's going to do the wellness work? These guys can find it before anybody else. That's who you want on the front lines. Now, health systems, you know, have bought up everyone and that's probably because we probably don't have time for a conversation about the RUC committee and RVUs and how all the wonderful PCPs get like nothing on the RVU stage. But I think at the end of the day, I've had DPC since 2008. There's a young doc named Jay Parkinson. He's not young anymore, in New York. And he had a company called Sherpa, and it was virtual primary care, VPC. And he and I tried to schlep it around Manhattan. And he had 8 docs that worked in an office in the West Village. And they received text messages and photos and phone calls and literally dealt with patients. And then I was trying to build a network, right, in New York City. And we were trying to kind of jam that together. And I think it was fantastic. I loved it. And I love the DPC movement.
What about for specialists like myself? Do you think there's any role? I mean, because these procedures are expensive, whether we're talking about the facility side or we're talking about the professional fees for, say, a hip or knee replacement. Is there any role for cash payment models, direct care models for us subspecialists that we can kind of say, sure, I'm done with the insurance models. I'm frustrated with it. Yeah.
I think if you did, well, there, you know, when we say insurance, I'm always trying to figure out what we really mean. Like, I think when it comes to fully insured plans and you're dealing with that, okay, I'd be down with getting rid of it. But I think when it comes to employers, I'm trying to find different ways or avenues to work with them. So a long time ago, before direct to employer clinics got really popular and non-docs built those businesses, I was trying to encourage physicians who owned ASCs, specialists and not, right, to do that for employers, right? And it was really difficult and it was really not kind of in their wheelhouse. I think if we were to have that opportunity over again, we could have done it. I mean, I don't think it'd be very hard for you to be like, hey, Comcast, I'm just making up something, right? Like, hey, Comcast, I'm going to take care of all your MSK from now on, right? What you're going to do is you're going to pay us a fee and then every call is going to go to my office. And like that works, right? They need that. And so there's lots of room for direct care. The challenge is this. A lot of times the expertise is not asymmetrical. In other words, either the employer doesn't, they really like you. Like every meeting that docs have with employers goes, like, they'll be like, Dutch, we had this really great meeting. It was amazing. And I'll be like, okay, what are you guys going to do? We don't know. And then they go back and they have another amazing meeting, right? Like it's all friends. It's all fun, but like nothing gets done because no one knows how to put the structure together.
Sure.
So HR departments are generally reticent. They're like, man, we just want to pick the plan. We just want the employees to be happy. Oh my God. And the CFO's going like, hey man, we got to lower these expenses. And the doc's going, well, like, how do I get in there? Right. So you kind of have to have some expertise, which is why we've been having these coalition meetings, like get some expertise around what needs to happen. So we can say, practically speaking, follow these 7 steps. And when someone says this, you say this. Does that make sense? And when someone says this, say this.
Yeah.
Because someone has to tell them exactly what they can do. Because if you go to an employer, they'll just say, can you talk to my broker? Right. That's the last thing you want to do.
For sure.
Because those guys, God bless them, they don't know what to do. They're like, I don't know what to do with this doctor. And I don't care. I'm just trying to win this business over here. And I'm trying to feed my wife and kids. And I'm having a hard time too. So like, sorry, doc, I don't know how to help you.
Yeah.
Right, there's very few. Of course, they're on LinkedIn where you are. There's very few consultants that know what to do and how to help you. And so like, I'm trying to get this information out as fast as possible. Like, here are the practical steps you could take. And yes, absolutely, doc, you could have all the total joint business for all the employers in your area. Here's how you do it.
How do we get you to come out to Meadville, Pennsylvania?
Hey, I'm going to make that happen like in the next couple of months.
I was going to say you're coming to Philly. So
Yeah, I'm going DC. I'm going DC, Philly, Pittsburgh.
Well, Pittsburgh is an hour and a half from me.
Where's Latrobe? Where's that?
That's down near Pittsburgh
training facility. Yeah. I mean, from there, you're an hour and a half from where we're at.
Yeah, it's close.
Oh, well, like I'll text you later this week then. We might be able to make that work.
Yeah.
I'm meeting somebody in Latrobe. We are going somewhere else and then we're coming back. And so maybe on the come back, I come see you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Like, let's figure it out. I'll text you guys.
For sure.
That'd be great. I'd love to hang out in person. I want to hang out in this wine cellar.
That's a little further, but not that much further. It's worth the drive.
I'm like, I've already come halfway. Like, I'm good. You know,
it's definitely worth a drive. Yeah. Plus, I want to get my hands on this handbook too. So there's got to be.
Yeah.
Well, Dutch.
No, I really do think it's a look. I think in the next year, we're going to have a ton of these kind of conversations where there's practical application where doctors can go, okay, tell me the difference between step 1 and 2. Like, what does this mean? And how do I practically do it? I got the concept. Okay. I know what coalition is. I know how to put 10 people together. Okay. I got that part. What does it mean? And then like show everybody what it means. Yeah. That's really what I'm going to spend the next 2 or 3 years doing. And I think it's not going to take much longer. We're going to kick the daylights out of these health systems.
So we don't have that 2 to 3 years, but can you give us kind of like the David Letterman, the top 5 things that we can do that are pretty actionable? And like, we can get into details about this later, but almost like a little bit of a teaser for our guests out there. What would you say the top 5 steps are for us to kind of reclaim independence and get this pendulum swinging in the correct direction? And for patients too, to provide better, more accessible healthcare.
Number one, I think private practices need to get a hold of their costs and their expenses. Stop assuming that every expense that you have, right, is just going to be that way. Here's a prime example. Independent physicians and physician-owned hospitals that have, and I'm talking about like guys that own surgery centers or are partners in a surgery center, right?
That's me.
Largely, you may have, so you have to forgive me. Largely, no one has ever discussed a captive strategy with you. And captives are very simple. They're used by the Fortune 1000. We talk about them every single day. We build them every day. And think of them as a self-funded plan for your ASC. Okay? And now think about all the premiums you've paid over the last, let's call it 3 years. Now instead of paying those premiums to a carrier, you pay them to yourself. And about 40% of that is carrier profit. That's property insurance alone. I'm not talking about malpractice and everything else.
Sure.
Okay. And now, how long does it take you to give your own payback? If let's say everything went perfectly, it's not going to go perfectly, right? But 40% plus 40% plus 20% is 100. So ostensibly, in 2.5 years, you've got your own. See, when I was building ASCs, I just thought, like, growing up as an accountant, like, I just thought everybody knew this stuff. And then I thought,
they don't.
they don't. And then I thought, I got in the physician-owned hospital business, and I was like, but I mean, like, why didn't your consultant tell you this? Right? Because as soon as I say to them, like, hey, this is what you ought to do, guess what? Most of them go back to their old consultant and go, hey, but, you know, Dutch is kind of a leader in the healthcare delivery space, and he told us about this and this. And then they're like, oh, yeah, we could do that for you. Right? And then the question is, well, why didn't you tell me that earlier, bozo? Right? You just cost me 10 years of premiums. Now we're just going to find somebody Dutch likes, and we'll use them, right? Because I don't sell property cash. So the point is, I think there are probably 25 expenses that I look at every year in a private practice, and I go, get rid of this, and like, okay, we'll cut your expenses on your practice by 30%. And if you do direct contracts, right, that would be, you know, number two on the list, and number three. Number two is there's 147 direct contracting companies. Like, how come over the next year, you can't divide that up, you know, by 12 and go, okay, well, we're going to look at 3 or 4 of these a month for the next year, 2 years. And we're going to see which ones work for us, right? Are they hard to use? Okay, well, then get rid of them. Are they easy to use? Well, I had a conversation. It was good. Okay, sign up. Right? So, like, because that's all marginal income. Like, that's easy. Like, how about work comp cases? Most orthos don't do them. Most docs don't do them. And I'm like, this is the easiest money in the world. Like, how come you don't do work comp? And of course, that's a state-by-state issue, but you get the general idea.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of lawyers, right, who do personal injury, and they have a huge system of how to do it. So it's not like some lawyer calling you and going, like, kind of, you know, onesie, twosie, how do I do it, you know? Like, and it's all kind of a wreck. No, it's super easy. Like, there's a system. You log in, you see the case. Do you want the case? Yes, I want the case. No, I don't want the case. Right. And the yes, I want the case is like, hey, you're going to pay me upfront or you're going to pay me on the back end. Right. The upfront's the 225% of Medicare. The back end is could be 600 or 700% of Medicare. Right. But you may not get paid, like, or it may take 3 years.
Right.
But there's lots of law firms that have those platforms. And I look at docs and I go, I don't care if you only get 20 cases a year. Like, it's worth the 1 hour conversation with these large law firms to do that. And they're not in every single town everywhere, but, like, come on, man, they're everywhere. Like, people get hurt everywhere.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, how do we just do 5 or 6 actionable things? Well, I mean, this is how you do them. Just, like, get to work on the real stuff. And so I'm kind of hopeful, you know, that people will do it.
Yeah.
Well, how do our guests, you know, I mean, LinkedIn's a great way to follow you, but what other platforms or what's the contact info that we can put right here on the screen that people can follow Dutch Rojas?
I think LinkedIn is the easiest way. If you email me, like, it's going to get lost. You can text me at 602-777-0101. Everybody that sends me messages on LinkedIn, right, that I like, I'm sure you guys get them. You know, this. Here's the one thing I don't understand about LinkedIn. I bet you get this, Doc. People will send me medical case history. And they're like, hey, can you help me with my problem? And I'm like, man, I really like you. I don't know you from a hole in the wall. And I'm so sorry that this is going on with you, but I can't help you. Like,
yeah.
I say on purpose out loud, I am an accountant. I am not a doc. Like, there's no MD or DO anywhere near my name, right? It says, comma, MSc, because I have a master's in finance. Like, it doesn't say anything else. Anyways, yeah. So, my phone number is easiest. People text me. And then Sometimes they get mad because I pawn them off to one of our employees. Like, don't be mad about it. Those guys know more than I do.
Yeah.
That's why I hired them. Like, they're the specialists. They're just not good at talking out loud. Like, they're just not.
Awesome.
I love his transparency. Yeah. And just brutal honesty too.
I'm pumped to hang out with you. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to that text message when you're in the area. So definitely.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen.
That's next week. So get ready.
Okay.
Sweet.
Listen, like, can we do this more often? Because I feel like I'm on a lot of podcasts, but this one's like the most fun I've had in a while.
Well, next time you do it, we'll do it in person so we can actually have a cigar or a bottle of wine while we're doing it.
Oh, that sounds real. Okay. Now I'm really going to try to figure out how to make this
next
work.
Week. Dry January. Is
dry January dry over January? Yet? We got a
dry January. Just got a little damp. It feels like, I don't know what's going on.
It's over. There's no dry January comes. It's
what
over
happened? Dutch came to town. Yeah, man. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, Dutch came to town. It was only 3 hours. I mean, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. I felt horrible the next day, but I had a lot.
We
of
literally
fun
filmed
it.
The whole thing and then just figured it out. Yeah, that's fun.
I love
fun. It. Now, hey, so are you guys going to any conferences coming up, or is your big conference like? Is ACUS one of your big ones? Like, what else do you guys like to go to?
So, I went to CCJR in December. I was at AUKUS, but I didn't actually attend the meeting. I was there for more development projects for orthopedic implant companies. I'm doing the Content Crib. That's not really an orthopedic conference with Matthew Ray Scott. I may be at the Academy, but it's going to be a real quick in out. And then every couple of years I do the osteopathic conference because we have to in order to stay credentialed through the AOA.
So the big one for you, it sounds like December, Orlando.
Yeah.
That's the one.
That's the one, or AUKUS in November.
Is AUKUS always in Dallas?
It is. Yep. And CCJR is always in Orlando. It used to be in Vegas in the spring too, but they just do it once a year now.
I went to AUKUS like 7 or 8 years ago. 6 years ago? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was the only time I ever went.
It's getting pretty big, hence why I like CCJR a little bit more. It's a little bit more intimate and a lot of the same content, a lot of the same speakers, but just a little bit more comfortable for me.
I get invited, like I speak at, I don't know, last year was like 34 conferences, but I'm trying to really like limit it to like maybe 10, 11. But make sure that like the content's getting to the right people.
Yeah, I think another big one is Ortho Summit. I've heard a lot of great things about that.
Great things about that one?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be going to Rome. If you want to join me in Rome for the Personalized Arthroplasty Society, that's in September of this year. I'll be there for a week.
Oh, I'm going to be 50 in September. I should go.
Yeah, dude. That'd be great.
What's the one that Sean's going to with the private practice, the practice administrators, or like the...
I don't know, but we got to hook Sean and Dutch up.
Yeah, Dutch. I'll Sean, the practice CFO. We'll connect you guys because he goes to one. Okay. I think is maybe this will be maybe the second or third year in a row that he's gone. But it's a really good audience of, I mean, like guys like him in private practices. I think a lot of it's orthopedics, but it could be a bunch of different disciplines. I mean, and this sort of content and this message and. Like what you're talking about is it like, I feel like a no brainer for a place like that.
See, this is what, so just for the moment, I did one in Dallas in Uptown, not far from where AUKUS was at the Ritz, and the Ritz in Dallas is very small. It's a business Ritz. And I mean, it didn't cost me very much money. And I just invited a bunch of friends to come and we figured it out. And it was just literally one day. Everybody flew in on Wednesday. Thursday, everybody went home, which I was blown away that people would do that because usually you guys are in surgery, seeing patients and all that stuff. But it was amazing. And it wasn't like I spoke for 45 minutes and then I had everybody else speak and it was mostly physicians. And it was like just kind of this big sharing ideas thing. And I'm like, okay, well, what conferences are already set up? Who's already kind of laid the groundwork so that we can just come in and be like, follow these five things and, you know, get $1 million back. Like, go run your practice. You're welcome. Like, that was free. Go on. Amen. Be about your way. You know what I mean? Like, it really, it's not rocket science for us. And so it's like, how do you bring that value real quick? Because you're already going to the conference.
Yeah.
Like, here it is. Go away. Thank you for being here. But I want to get more really kind of, I want to get more people like us together. And so maybe that group's kind of already forming. I don't know.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it's, and again, I think LinkedIn is the platform that's kind of starting those coalitions. That's what started our one in Pennsylvania.
X has been tremendous for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now it's different, right? But it's, I mean, there's so many great docs on X, and some of them are both, right? But no, it's fantastic. And it's more, it's like more immediate, more direct. Versus like long drawn out conversations.
Sure.
This is more like boom, 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 boom. Now you're going to get the trolls, right? But who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares
you'll have them, that no matter right? what.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're everywhere.
Well, thank you for having me on. This is great. Yeah, this I feel is, like we could talk for like more hours.
Well, but I have kids. Let's seriously look at getting together here in the next couple of weeks, whenever you're in the area and continue conversations. Again, I just want to take the time to thank you for your time. Tonight.
Well, thank you. Yeah. This is great.
It's been a long time coming. And I mean, all my expectations were met. So I had this picture in my head of
Travis. It was great to meet you.
Dutch Hang Rojas. Out. I'm like, man, what a name. I'm like, this guy has got to be
Dos Equis. It's Dos Equis. That's who it is. It just came to me the most interesting.
That's right. It was Dos Equis.
Most interesting man in the world. I've been, this is like the folklore I've been making up in my head, telling Dr. Molly, like for months, I'm like, dude, I can't
wait to start drinking beer.
I just need you to grow a white beard. And I'm just like,
white beard. Yeah. I'm almost there, man. I promise.
I love it.
So before we tune out here, I just want to thank all of our guests for tuning in. I want to ask you to subscribe, hit the like button, leave comments. If you have any questions, if you have any other guests you'd love to see on the podcast, we take all those, that feedback. We look at it, we appreciate it. And it just helped to make, you know, better content for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
In future episodes. So
cool.
So Dutch, before you sign off, we're going to do our little sign off here, but hang on for just a couple minutes. Again, everybody out there, I want to thank you. Make sure to keep tuning in and leave us your feedback.
Thanks, Dutch. Appreciate it.
Red Carpet out. As a disclaimer, this podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of this information and the materials linked to this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content on this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice from any medical condition they have, and they should seek the assistance of their healthcare professional from any such conditions.